pierce the hearts of your people, bringing forth change. We thank you, O God, for those that are listening. We pray, O God Almighty Lord, for those that are saved, O God, that they will be transformed by the renewing of their minds, that they will continue to grow in grace and knowledge of you. Father God, we pray for those that are not yet saved, that they will come to a saving knowledge of who you are. O God, we pray you will reveal yourself to them in such a way that their lives will never be the same. Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for the work that you are doing in this season. We thank you, O God Almighty, that eyes have not seen nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men the things that you have prepared for those who love you. And we pray to the Almighty God, as we continue to hear your word, as we continue to obey your word, O God Almighty Lord, we will grow in a deeper relationship with you. Lord, we bless you, we honor and we give you glory. Thank you, O God, for breathing upon this medium, O God, at this time. And we pray in the name of Jesus, mighty God, that those that are listening, we pray if there's any sickness among those that are listening, that they will be healed in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, we pray that you will come through, O God Almighty, with your healing virtue and touch, O God Almighty, your people, so that, O God, they will walk in good health and prosper. Lord, we thank you that you have come that we might be made whole. And we thank you as we hear your word, O God, wholeness will come to our hearts. Father, we bless you. We praise and honor and give you glory as we look to you by faith. In Jesus' precious name we pray and we say amen and amen. Amen. Bless God. Praise God. Now this week we are going to be going into verse 13 of Matthew 23. And we are going to be looking on the woes that Jesus pronounced to the religious leaders. The woes, and many might be asking, what is a woe? So we are going to define woe. A woe is great sorrow or distress, calamity or destruction. That's what Jesus was declaring over these religious people. So we are going to see the seriousness, people of God, as we go through these verses, the seriousness of the woes that Jesus declared over these religious people. So we have to understand that we have to come to know and understand that religion will not take us anywhere. But we have to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have to come to know him personally and to walk in his ways. So we look at verse 13 of Matthew 23. Verse 13 of Matthew 23, the word of God says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." So Jesus was pronouncing a woe, great destruction, calamity upon these scribes and Pharisees. These were religious people, people of God. These were religious people. These were those who teach the laws and preach the laws of God. These were those people that the people revere so much. But Christ was pronouncing a woe upon them. Great calamity will come upon you. Great sorrow will come upon you. Great destruction will come upon you, you hypocrites. Christ was calling them hypocrites. They were two-faced. They were play-acting. They were not real. Jesus said, "You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men." So we see the religious leaders have placed a stumbling block in the lives of many people. They were laying on the people laws and customs that they themselves were not willing to keep. They were not willing to practice these things that they were telling others to do. So they were saying one thing and doing another. They were two-faced, saying one thing, doing another. And they were causing so many of God's people to be burdened down with the yoke of bondage. Jesus called them hypocrites, two-faced, saying one thing, doing something else, misleading people. People of God, we don't want to be hypocrites. We don't want to be misleading people. We want our light to be truly light. Jesus said, "If your light is darkness, how great is that darkness?" That means we're misleading so many people, saying that we are of Christ and are not. God is calling us to be real, to be true, and not to be like these religious people. We don't want Christ to call down any woes upon any of us. as he called down the woes upon these religious people. Look on verse 14 of Matthew 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. So Jesus continued to pronounce the woes on them. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. People of God, the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus was saying, they were oppressing the widows and pretended that they care by offering up long prayers. People of God, Jesus knows everything. Jesus said they will receive greater condemnation. They're going to receive greater condemnation. And James 3:1 tells us that stricter judgment will come upon those who say that they are teachers. So let us be careful. Jesus said that they will receive greater condemnation. So we see Jesus called them hypocrites. They were not helping the widows. They were devouring the widows, taking the little that they have from them. They were oppressing them and pretending now that they care, coming with their long prayers, Jesus said. Jesus sees through everything, people of God. We can't pretend. We can't pretend before him. He knows when we're pretending. He knows when we're fake. So he's calling us to be true. True followers of Christ. True worshipers. Lest we be condemned like the scribes and Pharisees. Therefore, Jesus said, you will receive greater condemnation. We don't want to be condemned. We want people of God to hear Jesus say, well done, my good and faithful servant. We don't want all our works to be burnt up. We want to be doing what we're doing from our hearts, people of God, from a place of love for our master. So we have to come to understand that we don't want to be like these religious people of old. Jesus pronounced woes upon them. Destruction, calamity, distress, great sorrow will come upon them because they are not real. Jesus is looking for real people. People who will be honest before him. Look at verse 15 of Matthew 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. My. These are strong words, people of God, coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus continues to pronounce upon the religious people these woes. Jesus called them hypocrites, but they would travel far and wide to win a Gentile over to Judaism. So what they would do is go in the Gentile and see if they can win a Gentile over to Judaism. And that Gentile would be called a proselyte. And Jesus said that when they do all of these things, they make that person double time a child of hell, as they are children of hell or children of the devil. So what he's saying, because they're doing it, they're not doing it from the right heart. They're not doing it because they're trying to make sure that that person is saved. They're just looking another member for their religious sect. So we have to understand, people of God, our motives for what we do is weighed. Jesus weighs our actions. He weighs our motives. He knows when we are doing it from our hearts. It doesn't matter how far we travel to convert others. People of God, let us do it with the right motive. Let us do it from the right heart. Jesus knows everything. He knows the heart of the people. He knows those that are his. He knows that are those that are gathering with him. He said, if you are not gathering with me, you are scattering. And people of God, we have to understand that Christ knows everything. So he was in a position to call these people hypocrites because he knows the heart. Look at verse 16 of Matthew 23. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. So Jesus is speaking about those that are using oath. And Jesus himself speak against oath. We don't need to be using oath anymore. Jesus called them fools in verse 17. Fools and blind. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? Look at verse 18. We continue to read. And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Look at verse 19, people of God. Fools and blind, Jesus called them. For which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? That's a question the Lord was asking the religious people. Look at verse 20. Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. Verse 21. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. Look on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. Verse 22. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. So we see, people of God, earlier on in Matthew 5, 33 to 37, we see where Jesus forbids oath. So these religious people were still practicing all these oaths, people of God, to really allow others to believe what they were saying. So they had to use an oath to convince others. So we see Jesus forbids oath. And we are going to read in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 37. Matthew 5, 33 to 37. And we're going to see here the laws of the kingdom of God. Jesus came with the laws of the kingdom. And we're going to see that Jesus forbids oath. But these religious people were still practicing oath, swearing by the temple, swearing by the altar, swearing by heaven, swearing by the throne of God. They were still swearing, which was wrong. So Jesus was pointing out to them that this was wrong. Look on what Jesus said about oath. Verse 33 of Matthew 5. We're going to read 33 to 37. The word of God said, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. That was what was said in the law of Moses. You shall perform your oath to the Lord. But I say to you, look at what Jesus said. He has come. He's the master teacher. He teaches the laws of the kingdom, the laws of the new covenant. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Don't swear at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. So people of God, Jesus was exposing them that all their swearing and their oaths that they were doing was from the evil one. They were doing things contrary to the law of God, the law of the kingdom. The kingdom has come, people of God, and Jesus Christ has come, and he has given us the laws of the kingdom so that we should know that we should not swear at all. Swearing is forbidden. Oaths are forbidden. So we see they continue to practice these things. So Jesus was showing them up that you are sinning. Whatever you're doing, it's of the evil one. So look on verse 23 of Matthew 23. The word of God says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So we see, people of God, they were doing some eras of the law. They were paying their tithes, and they paid tithes of everything. All of their produce, every agricultural produce, they would bring in one-tenth of it. They bring in their mint and anise and cumin, and they have done all of these things, making sure they're paying their tithes. But Jesus was showing them up. You are neglecting the weightier matters of the law. What are the weightier matters of the law? Justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So we see, people of God, many times we're coming and we're doing all of these things and making a lot of sacrifices. And God is saying, I'm looking on the weightier matters of the heart. Are you showing justice? Are you showing mercy? Are you walking by faith? Are you loving one another? So we have to understand that Jesus looks on the heart. The word of God tells us in Micah 6 verse 8, He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To do justice, to do justly. So you are called to live right and to love justice, to love mercy, to be merciful, and to walk humbly with your God. So they were neglecting the weightier matters of the law. These are the weightier matters of the law. And they were coming with all their tithes and mint and anise and cumin, and they thought they were doing well. But Jesus was showing them up, pronouncing woe on them. Calamity, destruction going to come upon you, you hypocrites. For you do all of those things, but you neglect the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Look at verse 24 of Matthew 23. Jesus called them blind guides. Blind guides. You're blind. You're guiding, but you're blind. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know where you're going. You're blind. Blind guides who strain out a gnat. A gnat is like a little fly. You strain out a gnat and you swallow a camel. People of God, think of it. This is figurative language. How can one swallow a camel? What Jesus was saying, many are straining at the simplicity of the gospel. Many are straining at the simplicity of the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of Christ. And they are what now? They are pressuring themselves under the burden of the law. They are pressuring, they're swallowing a camel. The law is burdensome. So they are burdening themselves under the burden of the law. So people of God, sometimes it appears too easy for many of us by just putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone. So we see these religious people could not grasp the meaning of the kingdom that has come. They still believe that they should continue to try in human effort to keep the Mosaic law. But Jesus was saying, an easier way has come to us. It's by putting our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Putting our faith in the Messiah King. So we see, people of God, they want to do some works to please God. They want to do some works, trying to live the Mosaic law, which no man could do. Only the perfect God-man could fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. The law is righteous, people of God. The law is holy. But no human being was in a position to live this law right. But Christ, the perfect God-man, came and he lived this law holy. He fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law. And God is pleased with his beloved son God is pleased with the finished work of Jesus on the cross. God is pleased with what Christ has done for us. So it's for us to put our trust in Jesus Christ and not dependent upon our works to please God. God has called us to good works. But first of all, we must place our trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works, not of yourself, lest any man should boast. But we are God's workmanship, created unto good works. So people of God, good works can take us into heaven. It's only by putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone. So we don't want to be like these scribes and Pharisees, people of God, but we want to accept the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. By putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we are justified. We are declared righteous by putting our faith in him. Look at verse 25 of Matthew 23. Woe to you! He continued to pronounce all these woes upon them, and we see 8 woes in this chapter. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! He continued to call them hypocrites. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. So Jesus continued to pronounce calamities, woes upon the religious leaders, who were more concerned about their external appearance and not the state of their hearts. They were more concerned about their external appearance and not the state of their hearts. People of God, Jesus comes to deal with matters of the heart. But they were so concerned. Jesus said, you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside, you're full of extortion. Inside, you're corrupt. You're self-indulgent. Jesus knows the heart. He knows the state of the heart. So we are going to turn to Mark chapter 7 and see what Jesus says about what defiles us. Turn to Mark 7, 14 through 23. Mark 7, 14 through 23. The word of God says, when he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he had entered the house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all food. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. So we see those religious leaders were more concerned about what was on the outside, but not what was coming from their inside. Jesus said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Look on the things that defile a man. Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Jesus makes it so clear what defiles the man, people of God. But these religious people were concerned about the outside. Everything was about the external and not the state of their heart. Their hearts were filled with corruption. They were self-indulgent. And Jesus knows the heart. And Jesus exposed them. People of God, we want to go and live each day with a clean heart. So Jesus does not have to expose us because our hearts are clean. We need to ask him to clean our hearts, to help us to cleanse our hearts so that we can be people who are truly walking in purity of heart. We can see him for who he is and give him the glory. The word of God said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We want to see him, people of God, high and lifted up. We want to see him in his glory. We want to see him in his exalted position. Look at verse 26 of Matthew 23. Blind Pharisee, Jesus said, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. So people of God, our hearts must first be cleansed so it can reflect on the outside. Our actions will tell the state of our hearts. People of God, did you hear that? Our actions will tell the state of our hearts. Is our heart right? We have to come to understand, people of God, that God is calling us to have the right heart. Let us not be like the scribes and the Pharisees who pretended to be something or someone that they were not. But they were living, looking for the praise of men, doing all these external things and not thinking about the state of their hearts. So we, people of God, as the word come to us, we need to ask the Lord to cleanse us from the inside out, so that our actions will show that we truly belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. Our actions will tell the state of our hearts. God bless you here. We will stop here this evening and we will continue from verse 26 of Matthew 23 next week, God's willing. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for your word to us. We thank you, O God Almighty, that you weigh the matters of the heart. We pray, O God Almighty, Lord, that we will not be found wanting, but our hearts will be right before you. We pray that you will cleanse us, O God, create in us clean hearts and renew a right spirit within us. We pray, O God, in the name of Jesus, that we will go forth, O mighty God, as people who are washed and cleansed daily, that, O God, each day we will come to you confessing our sins, for your word said you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us, we pray, and make us clean, and help us to walk, O God Almighty, as children of light, bringing glory and honor to your name. Father, we thank you again for hearing us this evening. We thank you, O God, for being with us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit presence. And we look to you by faith this evening, giving you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you all this evening. Thank you all for listening. Continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend. Blessings to all. Amen and amen.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp. And you